Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Tonight, get your Bibles out and go with me to Joshua to start. We're going to be launching out from there. And tonight I want to talk to you about deliverance that endures. Now, sometimes when we talk about deliverance, we got to define what we're talking about. Deliverance is when you have been delivered from one place to another. Specifically in the Bible, when we talk about the subject of deliverance, maybe sometimes you've heard a deliverance ministry and it was specific to a certain area of what the Bible has to say. And yet, I want to talk about being delivered from that old man, from that old life. Jesus, the Bible tells us, has delivered us out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. It's a kingdom of light. So we have been delivered out of dark and into light. Now, Joshua chapter number 6. Children of Israel have come into the promised land. They have separated themselves. They've gotten themselves ready. They have followed the will and the way of the Lord. You remember the story. They marched around Jericho 7 times. On the 7th time, they blew the trumpets. They shouted for the victory. And the walls came a-tumbling down, like the song says, right? And so here they are, and they wipe everyone out with the edge of the sword. They destroy everything. They break down all the walls are rubble. And so now here we see that they have the victory, and now they have won the battle. The battle belonged to the Lord. God has done it on their behalf. And now here in Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 26, very interesting. I'm going to point this out to you. Verse number 26, Joshua says something. After they've won this victory, after God has delivered into their hands this stronghold, this Jericho, this mighty walled city, Joshua chapter 6, verse 26, then Joshua charged them at that time, or he warned them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. So Joshua warns the people, and he puts a curse upon anybody who tries to rebuild the city of Jericho. Now you remember, the city of Jericho was the first fruits of the battle. As they were going in, this was the first city that they were going to take out. And everything was dedicated from that city to the Lord. So when Achan took the gold of that city, it cursed the whole nation. And so this was something that was a first battle. It was a first remembrance. The rubble was supposed to be a remembrance for them. They were supposed to look on that, and if somebody didn't know what happened, maybe generations had passed now, and a young guy comes up and he passes by Jericho, he would look to his father or to his grandfather and say, hey, what is that pile of stones over there? And he says, son, let me tell you a story about how God brought us into this land, how he brought us out of slavery in Egypt, how he did miracles, signs, and wonders, brought us out with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, how the children of Israel should have came in right away, but they didn't believe God. And because of their disobedience, they wandered in the desert 40 years. Let me tell you about how finally a generation was raised up. And the leadership changed from Moses to Joshua. And Joshua brought the children of Israel in with great, mighty, wondrous sign. He split this river, this Jordan River. And now they came in and they marched around this walled city, this impenetrable city. And God brought this city to the rubble and the rocks, which you now see. See, it would have been an opportunity. And that's why Joshua comes and he says, this thing is first fruit. This thing is holy to the Lord. And whoever rebuilds it, there's a curse on him because he's touched something that the Lord has done. God has delivered this city into their hands. Well, now if you turn me to 1 Kings, go forward in your Bible past Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, okay, and find 1 Kings. And in 1 Kings chapter number 16, we're introduced to a man by the name of Hiel. There's a wicked king, King Ahaz. There's been idol worship in the land. People aren't doing what they should be doing. And in 1 Kings chapter number 16, verse number 34 says this, in his days, speaking of King Ahab, verse 34, in his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. Now remember, Joshua had laid a curse on anybody who builds Jericho. You guys remember what the curse was? At the cost of his firstborn, he'll lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates. It says, in his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn. And with his youngest son, Segub, he set up its gates, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. So here's a man that, I don't know what it was about this guy, Hiel. He had to either be ignorant of the curse. Maybe he didn't know it. Maybe nobody had taught him. Could have been that he was unbelieving. Maybe he said, yeah, I've heard about that curse, but is it really true? And so he decided to test it out at the cost of his own children. Or it could have been that he didn't care. He actually cared more for the work of building Jericho than he did for his family. In any of these three cases, this guy's in a bad situation. And we need to heed the warning ourselves. We need to not be ignorant of what the Word of God has to say for us. We need to get into the Word, find out the promises of God, find out the blessings, as well as find out what's going to happen to us if we don't do the Word of God. We also need to be believing. We need to not only understand what the Word of God has to say, but also say, I believe it so much that I'm going to live my life by it. You know, I get very angry. I get hot, if you will, when I hear about people saying, well, you know, why doesn't the church just accept the way the world is going? Listen, if the world wants to go that way, that's fine. You can go that way. But this is church. This is what we believe. And you're not going to come in here and tell me how I'm supposed to believe this. I'll tell you how I'm going to believe this, because that's what the Word of God has to say. I should have got better claps than that, church. Maybe we need to take care of some things in this place. Bible says judgment starts at the house of God. We ought to know better and we ought to do better because we have the Word of God. We need to be believing and not unbelieving. When the Word of God says this is how you ought to live your life, this is how you ought to live your life. I'm not living like the rest of the world. I may be in the world, but I am not of the world. And they can go do their foolishness. They can go do their thing, and they will reap the reward and the benefit of it. They may have pleasure for a season. Sin is fun for a season. But I'm not doing it. I will suffer while I'm here on this earth because there's an eternal reward that I'm looking for. I'm not looking for stuff here on earth. Don't care about the passing pleasure of sin. You guys want it, you can have it, but not me. I'm going with what God has to say. Or this man cared more for the work he was doing than he did for his family. Listen, we have to care more about what's important in life. We need to make sure that we're following after the things of God. See, do we at our own cost and our own misfortune rebuild what God has miraculously delivered into our hands? You know, I was just telling somebody out here in the first-time visitor area, and in recent weeks, they were talking to me, and they were telling me about their life, why they came to the Rock, and what they were looking for. They were having trouble in their life. And I told them, hey, listen, you know what? You are in good company here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Everybody in here is ex-something, ex-pervert, ex-sinner, ex-drug addict, ex-con, you know, ex-somebody. You know, everybody's got a story here at the Rock. You know, there might be churches out there with perfect people in them, but I ain't found one yet. And here at the Rock, you know, we're just bold enough to say it. Yeah, that used to be me. I was into all sorts of stuff, but that's our testimony. That's what God brought us through, and now we know what God has brought us to. And we look at that and we say, well, this is the Church of the X's, you know what? And we're in good company. Don't worry about it. You know, the people around you, they're not shocked by your sin because they were doing the same things. Come on. Any honest people in the place tonight? See, we were delivered. And yet God tells us, I don't want you going back to that old sin. If we start to rebuild those things which were miraculously delivered into our hands, then we're just like Hiel. We're going to find ourselves with things going wrong in life. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 18 says this, for if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. See, we wouldn't want to say that we're making ourselves sinners or transgressors. And yet, if I build again those things which I destroyed. See, God has tore down the walls in our life. When you gave your heart and life to Jesus, you were immediately and miraculously delivered. Everything that you had against you was wiped away. Why? Because that old man died. Now, the laws only affect until someone dies, right? Once you're dead, that's it. It's no longer you. But now that you've been raised again, you've been recreated. You are a new creation in Christ. So the new man, if the new man starts going back and building the old man, or the things which the old man was doing, then you make yourself a transgressor. See, like the old proverb, Proverbs chapter 26. Why don't you turn there with me in your Bible, Proverbs chapter number 26. And in Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 11 says this, kind of gross when you read it, but let's see what it has to say to us tonight. Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 11 says this. It says, as a dog returns to his own vomit. Yuck. So a fool repeats his folly. Now, how many of you in the place got dogs in the house tonight? Ugh, I have a little dog. He is a peek-a-poo. He's a part Pekingese and part poodle. You know, they say that poodles are smart. I call him dummy because he's just dumb, right? And man, that dog, he will eat stuff that I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? You know, just disgusting. And we wince at that, and we don't like the thought of that. And yet, the fool returning to his folly is like a dog returning to his own vomit. And we know. See, those things made us sick. Those things hurt us. Those things, our body rejected. Why? Because God designed us that way. And so if God took those things out of us, why would we want to go back with a fork and a spoon? Am I talking to anybody? Is that too gross? Too gross. All right. But I don't know about you, but I'm not one that wants to go back to those things. And yet every now and then I find myself with some of the stones of Jericho in my hands. Anybody can relate? Right? And we say, what am I doing here? And that's where God says, I want you to have a lasting relationship. I want you to have a lasting deliverance that endures. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 asks us a very important question. Now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? See, if we go back to those things, we are going to be bound by them. Just like Joshua pronounced the curse on Jericho, if we go back to that old nature, if we go back to that old man, we're going to find ourselves in bondage to the old ways. But God never intended for us to be in bondage. God has freed us from the life of sin. God has delivered us out of that darkness. God has brought us out into a wide and open place. God has brought us into the kingdom of light now. We don't have to be groping about in the darkness. And God is saying, I want you to stay there. I heard that in Rome there was a way that they would execute people that was a very torturous and terrible method. They would take people and they would set them out in the fields and they would tie a dead body to their back. And then they would make them work in the fields. And eventually that dead body rubbing up against their back and being in close contact, the worms and the things rotting and eating away at the dead flesh would eventually start to rot away and eat at the living flesh. And the people would eventually die from their wounds. See, if we reattach ourselves to that old nature and to that old man, it's like tying on a dead body to our back and going about our day. Eventually, it will tear us apart little by little, and we'll get spiritually sick. God wants us to be strong. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to be delivered. That old man that was buried, we need to leave him buried, and we need to go after the things of God. Are you listening tonight? So how? I know you want it now, but how do we do it? How do we have an enduring deliverance? If God has already delivered us, and now I don't need to go back and rebuild those things, how do I do that? Because sin does have its pleasure, and the temptation is out there, and it's alluring, and I can see it, and there's times where I want it. So how do I do it? How do we have an enduring deliverance? Couple of things for tonight. Take a look at this. First one is this. Don't look back with longing. Don't look back with longing. Remember, Jesus warned the people, do you remember Lot's wife? Tonight, let me ask you the same question. Do you remember Lot's wife? Here they are coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And the angel told them, I don't want you to look back, because if you look back, you're going to turn into a pillar of salt. And here they are fleeing, and Lot's warned his family, and they're racing out. Fire and brimstone is coming down. The wrath of God is coming down on these two perverse cities. Couldn't even find 10 godly people in there to save the entire city. That's how depraved they were. And so the righteous judgment of God is coming down. The wrath of God is coming down, is being poured out on the ungodly. Here they are racing out. The angel actually had to grab a hold of Lot and yank him out of there. And so here he is being delivered, and yet his wife turns around and looks a longing eye back and immediately turns into a pillar of salt. I heard a story of a guy on 9/11, World Trade Centers, and it was September 11th, 2001, just past 9 a.m. Stanley, I'm going to murder this last name, Pramnath, vice president of Fuji Bank, was in his office in the Southern Tower at World Trade Center when his phone rang. Are you watching the news? Asked a woman from the Chicago office. Are you all right? I'm fine, he said, wondering why she had called. Just then, he turned out to gaze out the window at the Statue of Liberty, as had been his routine, and the surreal sight of a low-flying commercial jet headed straight for his tower disrupted his view. He dropped the phone in mid-sentence and dove to the floor. Curling up under his desk, he began praying to God, "Lord, help me!" He prayed desperately as the aircraft smashed into the tower. The smell of jet fuel in the air, equipment scattered all around, rubble covering the floor, dust in the air, and he began to crawl across the mound of debris. "Lord, I have to go home to my family," he wheezed. "I have to see my daughters." Just then, he saw a light. "I'm here to help you." He thought, "This is my guardian angel. The Lord sent someone to help me." But Pramnath's guardian angel was actually Brian Clark, a fellow Christian who was an executive three floors below. The two miraculously climbed out of the rubble to safety. Now, Pramnath said, "My Lord has some unfinished tasks for me. I took the tattered clothes I was wearing that day and I put them in a box and I wrote deliverance all over it. And I told my wife, if I ever get spiritually cold, I want you to bring this box to me, open it up, and show me what the Lord brought me from." That's why I said, don't look back with longing. See, if you would have passed by Jericho and it was rubble, it would be one thing. But if you pass by Jericho and it's rebuilt, that's quite another thing. When we look back with longing, now all of a sudden, the desire in our heart is now going to turn into the work of our hands. And so we need not look back with longing. Those were not the good old days. You were not free in the sin. You were in bondage. We were all in a trap and we didn't even know it. Like the frog sitting in the pot of water. You know, if you drop a frog in a pot of hot water, he will jump right out. But if a frog is sitting in room warm water, and you eventually slowly turn the heat up, he will eventually sit there and boil. And in our lives, before we were delivered, the devil was turning up the heat slowly throughout our lifetime. We didn't even know what was going on. And yet God plucked us up out of that pit, took us out, recreated us, made us brand new, delivered us out of those things, which now many of us are ashamed to even speak of. And yet if we look back with longing, we're going to eventually end up rebuilding. Come on, somebody. See, you can't drive in rear view, right? If you drive in rear view, you're eventually going to crash the car, right? Look at what Jesus had to say out of Luke, the 9th chapter. Luke chapter 9, turn there with me. Gospel of Luke, now in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, and then Luke, chapter number 9. Great verse out of Luke chapter number 9, verse number 62. Okay, so right there before, if you find chapter 10, back up one verse. Many people are coming to Jesus saying, "Jesus, I want to follow you." Jesus says, "Hey, foxes have holes, birds have nests. Where does the Son of Man lay his head?" Another person says, "Jesus, I want to follow you, but let me first go bury my father." He says, "Let the dead bury their dead." Someone else says, "Jesus, let me come, but I want to first go say goodbye to my family." And look what Jesus says. Verse number 62, Luke, the 9th chapter, he says, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" See, we got work to do as Christians. We need to be moving forward. We need to be working towards the things of God. And yet, if you're plowing and you're looking backwards, you're going to end up with a road that looks like this. It's not going to work. That's where Jesus says, no one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We cannot look back with longing. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted with yesterdays. We need to get fit. It's time to focus our life ahead and not on the life behind. We need to be wise enough to leave the pile of rubble alone. Sometimes people get mad at Christians. Oh, it's just a bunch of rules. Don't touch. Don't do this. Don't do that. Yes. Why? Because it keeps me safe. And it keeps me sanctified. And it keeps me in line. Because I'm moving forward. I'm not going backwards. There are rules. If you're operating heavy machinery, you better be looking. Because if you get your hand caught in that thing, you're going to lose it. And yet no one gets mad at the manuals for the heavy machinery telling them, don't put your hand in there. Well, what if I want to put my hand in there? Well, go ahead and see what happens. But we need to leave the pile of rubble rather than rebuild. That's the first thing, is don't look back with longing. Second thing is this, is get in faith over it. Get in faith over it. Think about it this way. We could not deliver our own soul from hell. right? There was no good work we could do. There was no mountain we could climb. There was no pilgrimage that we could go on our knees all the way to Jerusalem or something like that and pay our penance. We could not do that on our own. We didn't qualify. We would mess it up. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that our goodness compared to God's goodness is like filthy rags. It's not going to make it. We cannot do this in our own strength or in our own power. So if we can't even deliver ourselves, but by faith in the work of Jesus on the cross, now we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth, we give the Lord all of our heart and all of our life, and we are now converted. We are brand new, right? We have crossed over from darkness to light. How does that happen? By grace, you've been saved through faith, right? So the ability of God comes on our behalf when we believe God for our salvation. Everybody tracking? Okay, this is basic Christianity 101. Now, what God is doing is he's showing us in our entrance into life, in our entrance into the kingdom, how things should be for everything else in the kingdom. In other words, if you cannot even enter by faith, then you cannot prosper except by faith. You can't be pleasing to the Lord except by faith. You cannot be delivered except by faith. There you go. You guys got it. So if we are going to stay delivered, then we need to get in faith over what it is we're believing God for. In other words, if you were born again, you gave your heart and life to Jesus. Maybe you're like me. When I got saved, I was 15 years old, okay? I was just a young high school kid. Didn't know anything. But before I got saved, man, it was cool to hang out with the friends. We cussed. We did all sorts of things. The day I got saved, I stopped cussing. Completely delivered. My mouth changed overnight. And how many know for a teenage boy, that's like miraculous, okay? Because we practiced at that. We were trying to think up insults and stuff, you know? So my goodness, overnight, completely cleaned up my mouth. I knew for sure God had delivered me from that God needed to clean up my mouth. But there were other things as a young man that I still struggle with. I still struggle with hatred towards people. I still struggle with anger. I still struggle with the perversities of this generation, right? And there were things that still came against me. And I would cry and I'd weep and I'd wail. And I'd say, Lord, I don't understand. Why am I still dealing with this? I gave my heart and my life to you, Lord, and yet you delivered me. And God, I don't know why you chose cussing over all these other things, God. Anybody ever feel like that? You know, maybe you were a smoker before and God delivered you from that, but the alcohol, man, you're having trouble. You say, God, why? What's going on with that? Isn't that the lesser of the two evils, God? Why am I still struggling over here, Lord? And yet God is saying, I want you to get in faith. I don't want you to go back and rebuild. I want you to believe the word of God and walk according to what I've spoken to you. I want you to remember what I've done as a memorial, but now you've got to get in faith. You've got to find the scriptures that deal with where you're at. Got to find out what God has to say. I would encourage you, if you're struggling in this area, Colossians, the third chapter, is a great place to start, okay? Just read through that and see if you can find your issue somewhere in there, because here is a laundry list of stuff that God speaks about in Colossians, the third chapter. And so find the scripture. Find out where it is. Maybe if you have a Bible that has a good concordance in the back and you open it up and you can find anger or you can find lust or covetousness or whatever it is that you're dealing with. Maybe it's hatred. And you start to find the scriptures that deal with those things. Or if you want to go online and do a word search on one of the Bible programs like Bible Gateway or one of those other YouVersion or one of those great Bible apps out there. And just do a word search. Find those scriptures and start to believe God in that area of your life. Confess them. Pray them. Pray them over your life. Start to speak those things. You know what, God? I will be angry, but I will not sin. Lord, show me how to do this verse, God. Show me how to be angry and not sin, because right now I don't know, right? I get in sin every time I get angry. So God, help me with that. God, give me grace. Plead with the Lord. Go before the Lord. God, I don't want to go back. I don't want to rebuild those things which I've been delivered from, which you've delivered into my hands, God. And so lay down those things at the feet of Jesus, and he will give you the victory in each and every area of your life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. I'll just put it up on the overheads quickly because we're going to be there in a couple months in our studies on the Sunday mornings. I thought I could use it tonight. We'll all forget it by the time we get there. But Hebrews 11, 30 says this, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Isn't that amazing? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. What if the children of Israel did not believe God that what, God, we're going to march around the walls and blow some trumpets and give a shout and they're just going to come down? That's foolish, God. We're going to go build a rampart. We're going to go get some catapults. We're going to go hire an army out of Egypt. We're going to go, see, what would that be? That would be utter failure. They would fall at the hands of their enemies, and they would be like grasshoppers in the sight of the giants in the land. And yet all they did was they believed God, they walked in obedience to the word, and the walls came down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. In other words, they just had to believe God and do what God said. So simple. So simple. That's why if you're struggling with lying, the Bible says put away lying. You say, how do I put away lying? Well, let's start taking a look at your tongue. Do you speak deceit? Is there intents of the heart? What's going on the inside of you? See, God makes it so simple. He has the manual for our life. Whatever it is you're struggling with or dealing with, I guarantee you there are volumes of scriptures that will teach you, and God will lead you. He will speak to your heart. He will give you a process. You can write it down and make it plain so that you can run with it. Oh my goodness. That's where you get, but you got to get in faith over it. You got to believe the word of God. Come on, somebody, you're listening tonight. Last thing is this. If you're going to stay delivered, you have to apply your authority in Christ. Don't let that old man raise up like Night of the Living Dead or some stupid zombie movie, right? That old man's dead. And if something comes putting its ugly old green hand up out of the ground, I'm in authority over that thing. And in the name of Jesus, you're not raising up. So you have to apply your authority in this area of life. If the devil comes knocking, who is it? It's the devil. Right? Or maybe it's your past. Or it's your opportunity to have some fun. Remember, the devil's a liar. No, you have authority. Listen, devil. Get off my doorstep and don't you come near my house. Not even opening the door to that. Not even entertaining that. You've got to apply your authority. Devil, you are under my feet. The Bible says in Romans chapter 16, verse 19 and 20, that the God of peace will soon crush you underneath my feet. You're a defeated foe. And don't you be coming trying to remind me of my past, because I'm going to remind you of your future. You have to apply your authority. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just a little old sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You used to be a sinner, but then you got saved by grace. Now, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I am not that old sinner anymore. That is no longer a part of my nature. Now I got a new nature. I've got the nature of God on the inside. I've been delivered from that past. I now can put off that old man, and I put on the new man, which is recreated in Christ. I am now a saint. I am now holy and pure before the eyes of my God. I am wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. I am robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God looks at me, he doesn't see that old sinner. He sees a child of God. He sees the saint of God. And I have the authority of Jesus Christ. See, that's where we have to apply it. We got to know these things about ourselves. God has given us authority here on the earth. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10 up on the overheads. God is speaking to Jeremiah when he inaugurates him as a prophet. He says, see, this day I have set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. See, he says, I've given you authority. Look at what he says, to do what? To root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Oftentimes, before we can get to building godly things in our lives, see, we all want to build, we all want to plant, but God says there are times that you need to root out and pull down. You need to get some things out of your life, and you have the authority to do it. Don't go back rebuilding those things. You know, after you have gotten rid of all of your CDs, don't go out and buy those explicit lyric CDs any longer. Hello? Because what are you doing? You're rebuilding those things which you were delivered from. After you've been delivered, don't go back and watch the R-rated and the TV MA and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because you've been delivered from that. You don't need it anymore. Root that out of your life and pull down those strongholds that make you think you need that. To destroy and to throw down. There are things that need to be thrown down and out of our lives. When the devil tries to raise up against us, we need to pull them down and destroy those things. And then after that, we build and we plant. What do we build? We build the word of God into our lives, and we plant the seed of the word into our lives. We have the authority of the word of God. Let me show it to you in the New Testament now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn there with me. You might be there in the book of Luke still. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let's start in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." See, even though I might still be in this old body that looks like that old man, I no longer war. I no longer live. I no longer do life that old way. And so when I war, I don't war in the flesh any longer. No, now I war in the spirit. Verse number 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not fleshly, right? "But mighty in God," for what? "For pulling down strongholds." Wait a second, Pastor. You don't know what my daddy did and my granddaddy did. You don't know it's been generation to generation. It's a vicious cycle that never ends. I was watching a show with my family not too long ago called Who Do You Think You Are? Anybody seen that show? Okay. And they go through the genealogies and the history. Very interesting, you know. So-and-so has a great, 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 great grandmother who is the queen mother of England or something like that, you know. And such an actor has a guy that was a very wealthy business owner, very influential in his day. And now that's why he's now influential and that sort of a thing. Really neat to take a look at. But then we were watching this one guy, and he was telling his story, and they kind of set you up for it, you know? And it's talking about all the things that he does as an actor and all the things that he was doing, how he broke into the Hollywood scene and the different things, different roles that he had played. And then it started to talk about his mom and his dad. And it said that his dad was an actor. And I thought, oh, I already see where they're going with this. His dad was an actor. His granddad's going to be an actor. He's going to find an actor like in Shakespeare or something like that. They're just setting you up. But they didn't. They took a turn. And it said, not only was his dad an actor, but age 11, this man's life was turned upside down. When the dad who he loved and who he revered, who he so respected, walked out on their family for no reason at all. I thought, my goodness, that's shocking. And yet he still wants to be like his dad. Well, then he starts to go dig into his genealogy, and they send him to Chicago, and he goes down to Chicago, and he finds the records of his granddad. He never knew his granddad's name, found out for the first time on the show what his granddad's name was. So he starts to take a look at him, and he starts to see records of him, and he says, well, hey, this record says he's married, and this record says he's single. What's going on? Did his wife die? And they said, well, we have court documents that show what happened. And so they go down to the court records, and they find out that the grandmother showed up to court, but the granddad didn't. And they asked the wife, why would he not appear? Why is he here? This is a divorce hearing. And it said, because he no longer felt he could fulfill the needs of having a family, he left and divorced his wife. Wow. So his dad left him. His granddad left his grandma. Then he went back to his great-grandfather. Do you know where the story's going now? They found out that his great-grandfather had left his great-grandmother. Then they went to his great-grandfather. You know where the story's going? Guess what his great-grandfather did? He played the soldier in the Civil War. He enlisted so he could get away from his family. Generation after generation after generation. And yet, we as Christians sometimes have the same thing. Well, my great-granddaddy was a drunk, and my great-granddaddy drunk, and my granddaddy was a drunk, and my daddy was a drunk, and now here I am. I can't do it. Even though Jesus has delivered me and I'm saved, I guess I'm just going to have to live this way as a Christian. And yet, God says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. There is no program. There's no 12 steps. There's nothing going to deliver you except the power of God by the Spirit. They're not carnal, but mighty in God. Ain't nobody more powerful than God himself. And when you wage a warfare according to the word of God, it is mighty in God. For what? For the pulling down strongholds. I could not deliver myself from hell any more than the children of Israel could pull down the walls of Jericho. And yet God does it on their behalf. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're responding tonight. Look at the next verse. Verse number 5, casting down arguments. See, the devil's going to try and throw arguments into your mind. Oh, you know you like that. You know you want to go look at that. You know you want to taste and touch and smell and everything else. Oh my goodness, oh, it would be so much better if I could just do, why do I have to be a Christian and not do this? No, we cast down those arguments. That's foolishness. I'm not going back to that vomit. That's disgusting. That's what I used to do when I was a sinner. That's no longer me. I'm a new me. I'm a new me in Christ. Christ is living in it through me. Remember what God told Joshua? He said, no man shall stand before you. Church. Ain't no devil in hell gonna stand before you. Ain't no stronghold on the earth and no wisdom of man gonna keep you back from what God has delivered and done and is doing in your life. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I don't care how wise it sounds, how many doctorate degrees are behind the name of the guy that's written the article or the blog or whatever it is that you read and thought, oh my goodness, this is the end. It's not the end. It's only the end when God says it is. It says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Notice what you think you will act on unless you bring it into captivity, unless you surround that thing and put a lock hold on it with the word of God. Bring it in subjection to the obedience of Christ. Look at the next verse. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, there comes a time where you have to just whip the devil's behind. Say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to punish that with the word of God. Remember, Jesus pulled out the sword of the Spirit on the devil. It is written. It is written. It is written. See, it's no different for us. We will suffer trials. We will go through temptations. We will be attacked by the devil. Listen, if the devil was asking for Peter to sift him as wheat, don't you think the devil has asked for you? He was asking for Peter before he had the Spirit of God. How much more is the devil coming after us? And so we don't need to be unwise. We need to be wise. We need to recognize and realize I need to get the word of God on my behalf. I need to not look back with longing. I need to get in faith over it and then apply my authority in Christ. I will cast that thing down. I will cast that thing out. And then guess what? If I do it, I'm going to punish it. If I find myself with bricks in my hand, stacking one on top of the other, oh no, I'm going to punish that thing with the word of God. It is written that you shall not rebuild this. It is written, I've been delivered out of the power of darkness. It is written that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And start throwing down those things. This is the reality we lived in until our obedience is fulfilled. See, after a while, the devil, he's going to go away and look for an opportune time. He may come back, he may try, but you whip him every time with the word of God. We may stumble, but guess what? Get back up, dust yourself off, repent, turn away from the way you were going and turn back to God and get on course with the things of God. Man, with this, you're in there in 2 Corinthians, turn back to chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, look at this. This is the present reality we live in. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 10. Says that God has raised the dead. Look at verse number 10. Who delivered us from so great a death? Look at, he delivered us. God delivered us. That's the reality we live in. And look at this. And does deliver us. Presently, God is delivering us. But look at this. In whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You notice that is a whole man. That is past, present, and future deliverance. We have to do our part and stay delivered in the present reality of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. How do we do that? Three things that we learned tonight. If we're going to stay delivered, if we're going to have a deliverance that endures, number one, don't look back with longing. Don't look back. Look ahead. And if you're looking at anything, look at the rubble. Look at what God has done and celebrate the victories. Number two, get in faith over it. My goodness, get the word of God on your situation. And finally, apply your authority in Christ. Do you guys get something from the word of God tonight? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.